Welcome to a brand new year of Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability with acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network at metaphysicalwisdom.com. This is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, and a very happy New Year to you. I'd like to take the time right now to thank all of our listeners from around the world, especially our regular listeners from Britain and Canada and Australia. And I'd like to welcome our new listeners in Ireland, the Philippines, Israel, and South America. How wonderful it is that we can now interact and share experiences, thoughts, and beliefs with so many different people around the world. It's really great. And this gives me great hope that together we'll find a way to bring our lives into greater harmony with the entire world, a way which is both sustainable and filled with love. So thank you so very much for listening. When we come together in pursuit of the highest good in this way, we bring out the best in each other and we open the doors for spirit to work its magic in all of our lives.
Thank you, Josephine, for such a wonderfully inspiring start to my new year. If you haven't listened to our show before, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she has empowered thousands of people from around the world with hard-to-diagnose and chronic health problems, giving them support and guidance in their journey back to wellness. She has also been a spiritual mentor and teacher to hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love. During tonight's show, she will be sharing some of her knowledge regarding health and healing. However, she is not a medical doctor, and she will not be giving diagnoses. So if you are ill or are suffering from a disease, do please consult your doctor before attempting any natural healing programs. All of our shows are about psychic ability, and for the month of January, we will be taking a look at the importance of treating our bodies as the temple of our souls. We do need to take good care of ourselves so that we can better serve our fellow human beings and the world. And our topic today is lies and myths about health, and our title is I Just Want to Look Good Naked. That's such a wonderful quote, Josephine. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Sure, Tony, I'd love to. This quote comes from the movie American Beauty, which was one of my very favorites. And in the movie, the character Lester Burnham is jogging, trying to, you know, lose some weight, and he catches up with his neighbors, and they ask him, and he says, oh, you know, what do you think I should do? And they say, well, you know, what are your goals for your exercise program? And, you know, you want to look, you know, get your, you know, physical in shape. Do you want to build your muscles? Are you trying to, you know, increase your cardiovascular? And he says, no, I just want to look good naked. I thought that was so funny. I thought it was great. Maybe you could show our first slide, Tony.
Certainly, Josephine. There it is.
Good, thank you.
Do you know, I love that movie too. I mean, it's such a funny movie and so moving too.
Yeah.
But anyway, how does the movie relate to lies and myths about our health?
Well, yes, thank you. And I'd love to get right into that topic. But first, as you know, I always like to begin our show with our spiritual agreement. And this was a gift to me from my mentor and dear friend, Jana Massey. It goes like this, and please join me in this agreement if you will. Together we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good, and together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Do you all agree?
I agree.
So often here, especially in America, we consider our appearance to be a sign of our good health. So we really work to get the six-pack abs, and we do our, you know, hair with all kinds of special products and treatments, and we have our manicures and our pedicures, and sadly, many of us choose to do elective surgeries and, you know, facelifts and Botox and injections and hair transplants for men, and, you know, we try to have our women look like they're 16-year-old boys, which was, you know, of course, the product of the modeling industry when they were trying to sell clothing. They found that if the women were natural, voluptuous bodies, more like the Marilyn Monroe body, I think she was a size 14 or 16 or something, then people tended to look at the model rather than at the clothing, and their job was to sell the clothing. So the models began to get very thin and angular looking. more like a young masculine body, and that was what would get people to look at the clothing and buy the clothes instead. So right there we have a myth and a lie about what is healthy and what looks good. And I've heard it said, and perhaps you could show the next slide, Tony, and that's that the number one rule of anatomy is to keep all of our parts, and I think it's very true. And so often we get into these elective surgeries for things, and it does affect the way that our, you know, nervous system lines up and the way that our vascular system lines up. And you know, of course, there are times where it's called for, of course, but it does seem to me like there are many times when we get into these things when they are not that necessary. And then our bodies have the difficulty of trying to clear the toxins out from anesthesia or from the various therapies that involve medications to help us do a healing from a surgery. So those all take their toll, I think, and there's other ways of doing it, I think, to take good care of ourselves.
Thank you very much for that, Josephine. You know, as you were saying that, it reminded me of a friend of mine who's an actor, and we were talking about hair loss, and I was, you know, impressed by his full head of hair, and he was older than me, and he told me that he was taking this medication that he'd somehow managed to get a prescription, or it was a prescription drug that somehow he got hold of. And he told me that I shouldn't take it, and I asked him why not, and he said, because it wrecks the liver. And I sort of said, well, why are you taking it? And he said, well, I just have to. It's just like, it's just the price of doing the job. You've got to have a full head of hair to get parts.
Oh, my.
It's sad, isn't it?
It is sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then also, too, you know, we'll do things like we shower every day and bathe ourselves, and we think, okay, I'm nice and clean, but we're really just clean on the outside. And also, how clean are we if we've got a lot of product all over our skin? I mean, I tend to, when I get, last thing I do when I'm in the shower is I will rinse off with a little vinegar, a little raw apple cider vinegar, to kind of wash that product off my body, because it does clog our cells, and it's not that great for us to have all those things on our skin. And, you know, many people in the third world, they really understand the importance of cleaning internally. So they're constantly working on, you know, eliminating their bodies of parasites, and they do it in a number of ways. They might use papaya seeds to really clean the bowel, or watermelon seeds, or chili peppers. Those kind of things, in regularly taken in the diet, invite the parasites to leave our bodies. Whereas here, we never think of parasites in the United States and in the Western culture in general. Yet we live with dogs and cats on our sofas, often in our beds, and we do, you know, we're medications for the parasites in our dogs and cats all the time. And how come it is that we're not putting that together, that we may also have those very same parasites because we're sitting on the same sofas and sleeping in the same beds? It's really quite something. So,
well, I'd never really thought of that dimension of health before. We've just got a new kitten, but somewhat shocking. But anyway, Josephine, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
How does this topic of health, or why is it so important for those of us who want to develop their psychic ability, and why is it important to you?
Well, it's important on many levels, really, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. In order for me to do my work well as a psychic healer, I try to keep myself very energetically clear. I'm careful about what I allow into my mind. I don't watch creepy movies or television crime dramas, nor do I watch the news, because these contain so many negative thoughts and images, way more than our human psyches were ever designed to take in during the course of a day. And I do get all the news, it seems, although all the pertinent news. Usually my friends will come up to me and say, oh, did you hear about this or did you hear about that? And Frank listens to the news, thank goodness, so he fills me in. And it does help me to not have those images and those words running through my mind so much. It helps me to stay a little more clear. But this alone is not enough. I'm also careful about what I take into my body. I very meticulously avoid caffeine and nicotine and alcohol, because stimulants and depressants can have a direct effect on our ability to accurately perceive subtle impressions. And when I'm sensing for another person as a medical intuitive, my own, you know, pretty careful lifestyle enables me to clearly identify problems or causal agents that I know are not mine. So if I'm in that clear space while I'm giving my service and I feel wired or anxious, it's probably because my client drinks too much coffee and has an exhausted adrenal system. Or if I smell cigarette smoke and I feel a burned, crinkly, radioactive quality to the lungs, then I know we've got a smoker heading into some trouble here. So, and also, too, if we've altered our bodies or polluted our organs with toxic substances, either from our food or from our environment, then we cannot be clear channels for psychic information ourselves. So similarly, if we want to tune into really subtle energies like those of plant spirits or deceased loved ones, it really helps if we're healthy and clear. And if our own health is a little bit off, it can, you know, sometimes lead us to perceive things that may not be accurate. So I really like to give an emphasis to this in my own life for my own work, that keeping healthy and clear is a good idea, but it's good for all of us. It's good for all psychics. And but especially true if you want to be a medical intuitive, if you want to try to sense the health of another person. And, you know, if your own body is full of imbalances, it becomes more difficult to sense the health problems of other people's bodies. And because of this, I try to take as good a care of myself as I know how to do. I exercise regularly and I eat whole foods. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm not a saint. I may have some little, you know, indiscretions. So
I've seen one or two of those.
You've seen one or two of those, and we're just coming off of Christmas here, and I got into some sugar. That's my big thing. You know, I love it and hate it at the same time. And, you know, so I try to clean up as quickly as I can because I realize the profound negative effect it has on my teeth, on my liver, on my kidneys, you know, on my whole body, on my general energy levels. And, again, there's a stimulant, you know, sugar will rise you up and then drop you down, you know. So I try to take good care of myself, and I exercise regularly and, you know, do detoxification programs on a pretty regular basis to clean my organs of, you know, parasites or environmental toxins. So I put a lot of energy and effort into it. And, you know, people are often, they're often with me, oh, you want to go for a coffee? Well, no, I'll go with you, but I'll not be having the coffee. I'm sorry. And I know that just, you know, almost stands in the face of, you know, what? No coffee? No black tea? Is she crazy? Well, you know, I just long ago made the decision that I wanted to find out what it was like to be just a human being and to see what it was like to not have all these stimulants, all these ups and downs. It was part of that injury pattern, you know. When you have to spend a year in bed, do you really want to be, you know, hyped up on coffee? Well, no, probably not.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and, you know, keeping healthy requires the understanding and the use of really basic principles that are designed to help us care for our body. And sadly, we're not given an owner-operator manual at birth, so we have to learn how to take care of ourselves. And in this, like I mentioned, I've had the benefit of the training ground of my own experience. And not only has it been the myriad of calamities of broken bones and torn ligaments or skin conditions or tumors or what have you, but I also was born, fortunately, to a very health-oriented mother, and she really led me down the path of natural whole foods and things. She was born and raised on a farm, and she had seen, you know, natural living her whole young life, and she really passed that on to me, and I'm so forever grateful for that and to her for that. So, you know, and then when I listened in for my own answers on how to heal myself, I found that I was frequently drawn to alternative healers. And these practitioners helped me to gently unravel the mysteries of my body's imbalances, and they taught me what I needed to know about health and healing, and they started me down the road towards finding my own answers from within and using natural solutions to try to heal our problems and preventing them in the first place. So that's thus the things like the detoxification programs that I do. I think that they really help me to stay healthy despite my occasional indiscretions. So that's been my experience, and that if all of us take the time to listen in, we can hear our own internal voice guiding us back to health. So maybe you could show the next slide then, Tony. This is a quote by Robert Urich that I really like. It says, "A healthy outside starts from the inside." Isn't that nice?
Yes, it's a really profound idea.
Mm-hmm. And I think that sadly in Western culture we've really missed the boat. Our health should not be so much about appearance. It's more about joy and service. And we tend to culturally take a much more shallow look at why we want to be healthy, one that has to do more with pride and ego than anything else. And it would be so much better if we could realize the deeper need for our bodily, mental, and emotional health, and that is to allow ourselves to become temples of service for our souls and for our higher calling here on Earth.
So I just have one question there, Josephine,
mm-hmm.
about that.
Yeah.
So if, you know, we're going to be listening within in terms of you know, seeking guidance. Does that mean that different people will hear different things, so that, you know, what's good for one person might be bad for another, etc., rather than a general prescription for everyone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody is different. If my work has taught me one thing, is that I always go in with no expectations. In fact, one of the affirmations I say in my meditation before I do my work is that I am free from all expectations of outcome. You know, I just release it all, because people are different, and what's, you know, right for one may or may not be right for another. That's the beauty of biodiversity. So listening within to ourselves is, not only is it great practice for us to develop our psychic ability to listen in about our own health, but we are all unique. And that's one of the things that I tell everybody in my readings. Often before I get started, I'll say, you know, run everything that I may say through the filter of your own awareness, because if it doesn't sound right to you, then don't do it. You know, if it sounds right, if it harmonizes, then go with it. But if it doesn't, then just disregard it. Take what fits.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Josephine. Mm-hmm. And we did receive a message from Fran, who asked a question last week about love. And she writes, "Much love to you, Frank, Josephine, and Tony. Thank you for loving me just as I am. The answer to the question was superb, delightful. It redirects my pain sensations into a more loving attitude in all areas of my living, right here and right now. Love always, Fran."
Yes, thank you so much, Fran, for writing in to us. It's always so nice to hear from our listeners.
Yes, thank you so much for that, Fran. So, Josephine, back to tonight's topic. How then do you begin to find health from the inside?
Well, if you remember back to last week, we were saying how our consciousness is all about love, and love is that sustaining energy of our beingness. So this means that love is the most primal or fundamental energy of all. When we love ourselves, we give ourselves time to look within. We take care of ourselves.
Okay, so the first step is self-love, and I've been working on that, as I'm sure have many of our listeners. But where do we go from there?
All right, well, why don't we try a simple little exercise right now?
Okay.
So now, for those of you who are listening, you'll want to join us in this only if you are not operating machinery like driving a car. If you are, you can go ahead and remember it, and, you know, it'll be easy to recall, and you can save it for later. But if you're, you know, just sitting comfortably in your living room or in your house or something, you can just feel free to relax and join us in the exercise right now, and we'll go ahead and begin. So let's start by taking a nice, relaxed, and easy breath. And close your eyes if you like. And go ahead and imagine a pink bubble in front of you, a bubble that's large enough for you to enter into it. Let yourself step inside. Know that this pink bubble contains clear insights regarding your health and healing, and it'll allow you to instantly know what it is that your whole body, mind, and spirit would most like for you to do in order to enable you to more fully care for the temple of your being. Trust the first thing that comes to you, and give yourself a moment to receive this. Know that you will retain full memory of what has transpired, and now, using your imagination again, step out of the bubble. See it sail gently away into the distance. Know that it'll always be there for you when you call upon it. And take a relaxed and easy breath, and allow yourself to return to your normal waking consciousness. So if anybody would like to share their experience with us, we welcome you to do so. And in the meanwhile, Tony, how was that for you?
It was lovely. I really enjoyed that. I had an image of myself drinking lots of water, you know, clean, clear water.
Great.
So I think perhaps what I need to do over the next week, month, year, is start drinking a lot more water.
Yes, that's a really wonderful thing to do. You know, there is a book by the title of Our Body's Many Cries for Water, and this was written by a physician who was incarcerated for a time, and he had nothing with which to treat his patients. There were no medications available to him. And he found that for just about everything, if he could, you know, one thing he could prescribe was water, because that was abundant and available. And if he would just, you know, direct them to take so much water that most all the time their conditions would ease and dissipate and even clear up and go away.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I get the feeling that I'm a little dehydrated.
Yes, I think we often are.
When I was doing the pink bubble exercise, I almost had a sense that maybe that would be sufficient to, you know, clean out my organs. You know, thinking after Christmas with all the bad things that we sometimes take in. you know, and I'm feeling not quite as well as I did going into Christmas. And I'm wondering whether, you know, something in me is wanting to feel a little cleaner on the inside.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, that's how we wash our dishes. You know, we move the water through, and that's how we wash our clothes. And, you know, it's the universal solvent. It will dilute all sorts of salts and chemicals and things that we've taken in and just flush them right out of the body. And the kidneys love a lot of water, and so does the liver, and the whole body likes to be hydrated. You know, you think about it when you're running dry, you know, you're a little slow and sluggish and stiff and stuck, and it's not as easy. Things don't glide as well. Well, thank you, Tony, so much for being so willing to share your experiences with all of us.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me too. I really do enjoy these exercises that you have. I find them very helpful.
Great. I'm so glad you do. Well, now perhaps this might be a good time to show our next slide. This one is the HUNA code, the main three precepts of the HUNA code, which was written down by Max Freedom Long after he visited with the kahunas of Polynesia. Those were the spiritual medicine men. And this encapsulates the essence of the teaching. And it goes like this: trust yourself, bless the present, and expect the best. Isn't that lovely?
Yes, that's very, very nice.
And the present moment is the moment wherein we can, you know, really move ahead with what we need to do. That's the moment of power. And expecting the best, that holds our thoughts in a good spot and keeps our, you know, internal chemistry and our hormones moving in a good way, and trusting ourselves, knowing, and just like you did, drink lots of water. It's a beautiful one.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we have a question that's been sent in by email. And this one comes, I think it's Claudia or Claudia. And she writes, Dear Josephine, thank you so much for your show. I try to listen in every week. I'm a little bit concerned about my weight. How do I tell if this is an appearance issue, or are my extra pounds affecting my health? I would appreciate any thoughts you have.
Oh, thank you so much, Claudia. Yes, well, like I mentioned, I always like to recommend that we ask within. Our own selves are the most accurate authority in our lives. And deep down and truly within, we know what's right for us. We just so often forget to ask. But I'm really glad that you brought this up, because, you know, we've had tremendous cultural influence on our well-being when it comes to food. I recently watched a BBC special that was titled The Men Who Made Us Fat, and it was a three-part series, and I highly recommend it for anybody who is interested in this topic. And the first series was all about agribusiness and the loss of the family farm in this nation. And it started in, I think it was the 60s and the 70s, and maybe even earlier in the 50s, with a real strong push towards gearing up to large-scale production. And we changed the type of seed that was used so that it could be harvested by these big combine harvesters and would store well and suited itself well to mechanized agriculture. And as a result of that, many of the family farms just couldn't compete. You know, when somebody has hundreds of thousands of acres as opposed to your little 60 acres, it's hard to find the marketing, and it's hard to move the food around. And so with that agribusiness came lots and lots of corn, and then corn syrup, and that, you know, I don't know if you've also seen the movie King Corn, but that's a wonderful documentary to see on how corn is, you know, if you are going back to the protein, even in the animals that we have in our farming, like when you're eating steak or anything of that nature, the animal proteins are all have their basis in the corn protein because they're fed and fattened on the corn. And then as well, so that really had an effect on our you know, the fat in our bodies from the fat from the animal products and also the sugar, like the corn syrup. And then, of course, we got all addicted to the salts as well because sugar, fat, and salt all come together in a nice taste package. And, you know, in fact, I think there's a book that is recently written, which was, I think it was a cookbook, and it was When in Doubt, Just Add Cheese and Bacon. That's a good way to, you know, put on some extra weight right there. And the second part of the series was about portion control and, of course, the whole supersize me thing. You know, back in the 60s, a soda pop, if you went to a restaurant that was, you know, the early fast food restaurants or the counter service restaurants, you know, where you walk up to the counter and you order something as opposed to having a waiter take you to your table and take your order. Well, the counter service restaurants began back in the day. When you asked for a soda, you got a little, you know, 6 ounce or an 8 ounce soda in a little glass, and that was standard size. And of course, we've all seen the sodas available now in our Western culture. It's, you know, they're 32 ounces.
I know. When I first came to America, that horrified me. I couldn't quite believe how big they were. I've got used to it now, but they did seem so very large.
It is just astounding, isn't it? And so are the portion sizes. I mean, we have a local restaurant here, which when I, you know, Frank and I would never order a whole serving, you know, a whole portion for ourselves because it's really good, enough to feed a family of five. You know,
mm-hmm.
Sit down there and think, gosh, well, we're going to have leftovers, that's for sure. And so that was the second part of the series. And then the third part was all about marketing and advertising. And, you know, there's a whole industry out there that's trying to get us to, you know, this is natural and so buy this, or, you know, the color and the, you know, the popping out, you know, images that make us want to buy. And that really, you know, grabs our attention and makes us want to go that way. And you know, one of the things that they said in the program was about how they began to target their advertising towards children and how, you know, the idea was to have your little 6 or 7 year old son or daughter have this nice, you know, candy bar with chocolate and sugar loaded with corn syrup for a snack, a little pick-me-up in the afternoon, you know. It'll give your child energy. You know, that sort of thing, fortunately, we don't see so much of that blatantly now, but we do see, you know, advertisements all over the place that are just dripping with greasy, you know, hamburgers and cheeseburgers and whatever, you know, and people eating with their mouths full, having huge portions. And so the advertising and the marketing is certainly a big part of it. And then, simultaneously, there's a whole other industry out there that's trying to make us obsessed with our appearance. And so we've got, you know, the one that's trying to make us very unwell, and the other's trying to make us feel guilty about how we look. So we've kind of gotten caught in this catch-22. And I thought it was very interesting, at the end of the program, they talked about one of the major stock buildings. I think, I can't remember if it was Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley or something. But they were showing how they were starting to educate their stockholders about new trends in health because they see the writing on the wall. They see the vast changes that have happened in the industry. You know, organic produce and grocery items have, you know, really taken off in the last 5 or 10 years. And they understand that, you know, it's not going to be, well, I mean, look, wasn't it Twinkie? Didn't Twinkie just go bankrupt not too long ago? And I don't even think you can get Wonder Bread in this nation anymore. So people are beginning to realize that these empty calories that are out there that just, you know, are stimulants and jack us up and don't nourish us are not going to be, you know, enduring in terms of, you know, economic growth. And so even the major stock firms are beginning to get a handle on this. And then as well, you know, it's not that I'm trying to say don't eat anything sweet, because we do need sweetness in our lives. We just want to go for healthy sweetness. So, you know, Frank and I like to eat with the seasons. And, you know, we've just in the end now of persimmon season. And so we've been enjoying persimmons, you know, which are loaded with vitamin C and beta carotene, and they really help stimulate the bowel and keep the colon clean and active as well. And so that's good health. You know, we all need that kind of good health. And then as well, I don't know if you recall, but a while back, fats were, you know, the evil of the day, and everybody was having a fat-free diet.
And I think that's still the case.
It's largely the case. But we do need fats. We need, you know, every single cell of our body, the cell wall, the wall that holds all the organelles of the cell, you know, the mitochondria and the nucleus and, all of the internal organs of the cell, the wall around the cell is made out of lipoproteins, lipo meaning fat proteins. So those are proteins that are bound together with fats. You know, if we didn't eat fat, chances are we'd wash down the drain if we took a shower, because we need those fats to keep the, you know, inside of our body separate from the outside of our body and the inside of our cells separate from the outside of our cells. So, lipoproteins and fats are very important. And then similarly, we need really good salts for minerals in our body. So we, Frank and I, eat healthy salt, usually the dehydrated ocean water, because it has 84 minerals in it. And, if you're getting sodium chloride like you get in a restaurant, just a plain table salt, well, that's just, you know, the byproduct of two byproducts from any industrial waste, you know, just sodium and chloride. And that's not a very healthy salt. That's going to imbalance the body. And so people who have problems with salt in their diet, usually because they've been eating an excess amount of that, you know, chemical-produced salt. Whereas persons who have not gone to that extreme and haven't gotten into trouble with salt can go ahead and enjoy the, you know, like the Celtic sea salt, and just supply their body with loads of really wonderful minerals. And, you know, the ocean water is very similar in its chemical makeup to our own blood. It has a real similar component of minerals in it. And so, you know, healthy salts can be great for us. So there are times where, you know, sugar, fat, and salt is good. And that's why our body craves them and why we have a taste for them, is because we need them. We need sweetness. We need lipoproteins. We need good salts for minerals.
I've never really thought of that before. You know, why is that compulsion within us there if these things are harmful for us? But that's a perfect explanation. Yeah, we do need them, just not the ones we're being served up with.
Right. And so all we need to ask ourselves is, you know, is this an addiction that's been imposed upon me, or am I just trying to meet my needs? You know, does this desire come from within or from without? And we need to sort this out first. And then once we've cleared ourselves of our addictions, then we can accurately know what we need. So one of my all-time favorite healers is Dr. Richard Schultz, and he has www.herbdoc.com. That's herbdoc.com. And he's also available on the telephone, 1-800-HERB-DOC. That's H-E-R-B-D-O-C. And you can call him and ask for his free catalog. And his catalog just reads like rather like a beginning primer on herbal therapy and herbal healing. And he studied with some of the main herbologists of, yesteryear in Europe and in America. And he taught at universities and taught health and healing. And, you know, it's extraordinary how, like, for instance, going back to, you know, how our appearance is. He said that when he was first teaching, he would just get, you know, he, as part of his, you know, training, the students would have to work on cadavers, and, you know, getting inside of some of these older people, some of the organs would be so misshapen and deformed and malformed because they had been so they'd so abused their bodies with taking in all kinds of toxins and poisons or excessive bad fats or whatever it is, or, you know, chronic constipation or whatever might have affected them. And so it was a little distressing to his students, so he began to request youthful cadavers instead. And here would be these, you know, beautiful, young-looking people on the outside, but when they'd get on the inside, still there were many of these organs that were grossly misshapen. You know, the gallbladder might be huge or filled with soupy, weird stuff inside of it that was not normal. You know, pardon me, blood or pus or whatever. And so, you know, that's just another point here, is that just because we look good on the outside doesn't necessarily mean that we're all that good on the inside. And so we want to take good care of ourselves. And he said, and I love this quote of his, he says that tomorrow is what you believe and do today.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That's truly inspiring.
I'll have to make a slide of that one of these days because it's so good. Tomorrow
mm-hmm.
is what you believe and do today. And thanks to Frank for all of our lovely slides. He does such a good job. So, you know, when it gets to the subject of losing weight, Claudia, one of the things that Dr. Schultz says, and I really love this, is he says that if you want to lose weight, you have to do two things. You have to increase your exercise and decrease your intake of calories. And he's really true. I mean, you can do either one, and you're not really going to get there. But if you do both, you will get there. It will absolutely work. So, you know, remember earlier with the pink bubble exercise, you know, what does your body want? What kind of dietary changes is it calling for? What kind of physical exercise is it calling for? If you do get that feeling from within, from the pink bubble or from whatever other exercise you might do, a body scan or any number of little mental or physical or psychological checkings within, you know, psychic checkings within especially, you know, what calls to you? And, of course, I always like to go with what brings you joy. What, you know, so what kind of exercise would bring you the most joy? Would it be swimming or playing tennis or walking up in the hills or whatever it might be? That's the one to pay attention to. And then, you know, what kind of dietary changes would make you feel really good, you know? Me, I love nothing better than eating watermelon in watermelon season. I can usually take off a few pounds while I'm doing it. And then, you know, other times of the year, if like it's really hot out, then I'm really wanting my green juices. I'm wanting to make, you know, like celery and cucumber and cilantro juice as a base and adding in all sorts of other greens. It's cooling and it's nutritious and it really fills me up and it feels wonderful in my body. It makes my body feel really good. It makes me happy. So that's one of the things that's in answer to your question, Claudia, that's how I like to do it. And perhaps, Tony, you could show us the next slide now.
Certainly.
And this one, again, comes from the HUNA code, HUNA Life Principles. And this says, now is the moment of power. And that's really the truth with our health. I mean, it doesn't do us any good to, you know, have anxiety or worry about the past or have anxiety or worry about the future. What's most important is this moment. This is where we have all of the power to make changes in our lives. What do we want to do right now? And Frank was recently reading a book on habits, and one of the main points was, you know, what choice are you going to make right now? Are you going to choose the old habit or are you going to choose the new way of being? It's just, that's where the power is. It's right in this moment. What choice do you make?
Thank you so much for that, Josephine.
Mm-hmm.
We have a comment from a listener in Paso Robles, and she writes, hi there, dear Josephine. I'd just like to share how I lost 20 pounds in 3 months. I just stopped eating processed foods. I kept everything else the same. It was nothing short of a miracle. Wishing you an abundant new year, Diane.
Oh, how great, Diane. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's really, really a beautiful way to go. And, yeah, processed foods are notoriously laden with, you know, the bad sugars, bad fats, and commercial salt, and the very things that make us overweight. So I'm so glad that you've experienced the wonderful benefits of dietary transformation in your life. That's a huge one. And, you know, I have a dear friend who was a little bit overweight going into a pregnancy, and she asked her medical doctor, you know, what should I do? You know, I don't want to gain any more weight. And the medical doctor just said, unfortunately, was trained in nutrition, and she said, just eat plenty of fresh foods. So she went ahead and got access to the community sustained, you know, agriculture. That's those CSA boxes. And she got a box of fresh farm produce every week, picked it up at the pickup site, and brought it home. And her rule with herself was that she would let herself eat anything, just so long as she'd eaten all of the vegetables in the box first. And she found that, you know, that whole big giant box of vegetables got her through the whole week with plenty of really good food. And there was a wonderful mix of fresh produce in there. You know, everything from potatoes to arugula to kale and blueberries. And, you know, she just worked her way through it. And And she only gained, I think, 4 pounds or something during her whole pregnancy because, like I said, she was already a little bit hefty to start. And then she didn't have that much of a problem to take that off after she was done because she kept up that habit for herself and for her family and very healthy as a result of it. That's the way we're meant to eat, lots of nice fresh vegetables.
We have a listener from San Francisco who would like to join the program. Welcome to the program.
Hello, my name is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Josephine. I'll be speaking to you, and I read your email, and I was excited about this radio show because it seems very pertinent to something that's going on in my life right now. Yeah, I'm a piano tuner and part of the guild, the Piano Technician Guild, and this last December, a advertisement in our guild newsletter was of a beautiful naked woman on a bed, and all she's being covered with is some piano bass strings. It was actually hilarious, and it made me laugh really hard, but it was very inappropriate for this professional guild magazine to have an advertisement like this. And so the women of the guild have been discussing this over emails, and it's all very unclear. Some people think we're making too big of a deal of it. Other people are very concerned about it. And I don't know, I guess I feel really unclear about using the human body, especially the woman body, as an advertisement, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I hear what you're saying, Rachel. Well, it is objectification of the woman.
Yeah.
And it's not seeing the woman, you know, like years ago Frank got a pair of shoes, a pair of boots, and it had a picture on the cover that showed, you know, this young masculine hiker, you know, he's got a beard and all that. And he's carrying in his arms a young woman, and she has the boots on also. And the message was, you buy the boots, you get the girl. You know, and that's so not true. It's nothing to do with reality.
Yeah.
And again, we've been using, you know, women to sell things for a long, long time. We use it all the time, in fact, in our advertising. And what does that say? You know, that says that woman is property. You know, that's the wrong message. That's not true. Nobody belongs to anybody else. You know, if we think that we own someone, we are completely missing the boat spiritually. We've not learned how to relinquish attachments. You know, no parent owns their children, no husband owns his wife, no wife owns her husband. We don't own anybody else. And if we do think that we own somebody else, we try to control them. And if we try to control them, we make for a very inharmonious living situation. It's only when we realize that we have to let go of that idea and release the thought of owning somebody else that we come into understanding the equality and the equalness of each other. And then we're no longer, you know, trying to manipulate their lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard for, I think, parents to feel that because, yes, they have been given a child, and, yes, it is their job for them to go ahead and help to socialize that child and to raise them up. But they don't own that child. That child is... they own themselves. And, you know, it's part of our deeper cultural mindset where we kind of have this idea of this is what allows us to be a slave planet. You know, it's that idea that we can own someone else. Mm-hmm. And it goes even deeper than women. You know, it goes to animals. And, you know, there's this sort of funny thing that we have where we think that our pets are wonderful, but a pig is an animal to be eaten. And, you know, this is getting into kind of a touchy subject because I know that there's a lot of people out there who are not vegetarian or who are not vegan, and that's all fine, and I truly honor and understand and allow everybody their own way of being. But really, if we want to take a look at raising our consciousness, you know, that is a part of that. We are looking at those other bits of consciousness as if we are owning them. And that's one of the things that we need to do when we really begin to work on ourselves spiritually. We need to relinquish our attachments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a really, you know, big topic that you've gotten into, Rachel, with the Piano Tuners Guild and their newsletter, you know, and it was funny, but it was unprofessional, and it did further the, you know, the objectification of women. And until we get to that point where we are realizing that all of our consciousnesses are equal and valid and wonderful, then we're in for a little bit of trouble in our lives.
Yeah.
So, gosh, I can't thank you enough for calling up and sharing that topic because it's a really big one.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and Happy New Year, Josephine and Tony.
Thank you, Rachel. It was so nice to hear from you. I hope we get to hear from you again.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Bye for now. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you so much, Josephine. You know, it's really got me thinking, this discussion about, you know, the food and the not even processed foods. I mean, earlier this year, Chloe, my wife, she was really trying to clean up and doing detoxifications and things. And so I got into trying to support her a bit with that. And so I changed my diet and probably ended up not having any processed foods because we were eating a lot more produce, a lot more vegetables and fruits and things. And I noticed that during that period I was starting to lose weight. And then what I've noticed and gone back to eating more how I was before, that those pounds were starting to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very much the part of it. And didn't you guys also go vegan during that time too?
We were at that part of the year. And since then, I mean, I've been a vegetarian for a long time, and that's something I'd like to ask you about as well. But first of all, just finish this off. Yes, but now I'm eating, you know, yogurt again and cheese and eggs, and I really do like those kinds of things. But in view of what you said earlier, it's making me wonder, is there something in those things that I'm attracted to that I could just as easily be getting somewhere else?
You mean the processed foods?
Well, I was thinking, you know, yogurt and cheese and maybe sometimes eggs. Sometimes I just feel like, oh, I want to have a piece of cheese, or oh, I want some yogurt. And I'm just wondering, is that craving in me because there is actually something that my body needs, but I don't need to get it in that place?
Yes. Well, the vegans will certainly tell you that you absolutely do not need those foods. But like I said, I'm a big proponent of listening in, and I myself have tried the vegan diet on a number of occasions, and I love it. I find that it can really increase my health. In fact, it's a wonderful way to eliminate disease in the body. But my own body does tend to like a little bit of dairy products now and then. Now, I wish that the dairy was raised like the, you know, cows on my mother's farm. When my mother was growing up, she was put in charge of 16 different cows starting at a very young age, I think the age of 4 or 5, and she milked those cows every morning her whole life long while she was living on, well, not her whole life long, but her whole life on the farm long. And it was a very personal relationship, and the cows had their babies by their sides, and they would come into the milking barn, and they would all stand at a nice long trough together, knee-deep in hay, and my mom had a little three-legged milking stool, and she'd lean her, you know, forehead into the flank of the mother cow and, you know, do her milking, and the baby cow was right there by the side. And you know, they'd gather the milk and then carry it into town in big containers and sell it in town. And, you know, it was a beautiful relationship that they had on that farm with those cows, and it was loving and kind. And when the baby cows got old enough to be weaned from their mothers, you know, their mothers would start to kick them away. That's when her father would separate the mother cows from the baby cows for a few days until they were fully weaned. But the humans would continue to milk the cows so that the cows would continue to produce milk. But they always felt that the cow produced enough milk for the babies and the humans while they had their babies by their side. They didn't take their babies away. Now in modern industrial farming, of course, we take those babies away from those mother cows right at birth. And that's a very sad thing for a cow. So, you know, for any mother, for any mammal, any mother, it's very saddened to have her baby taken away from her. So, you know, when I look back to, you know, how the cows were treated in yesteryear, then that's the kind of dairy that I'd like to be able to buy, you know, from cows that were loved and were well cared for. And then, you know, when their daughters would their daughters would nearly almost right away be returned into the milking herd to grow up and the fresh green grasses and whatnot. And the male children were taken away to be slaughtered, and that was the meat for the families and was also sold in the village. And so still we're not looking at, you know, really allowing those animals to be their own consciousness and to do what they would want to do and be, you know, wild and free. It's not quite the same, and life would be very difficult for them out there, I'm sure. We wouldn't have anywhere near as many animals, but cows and whatnot that are raised and, you know, pretty well been selected for farming. But at least it was a more loving relationship and less objectification. So I guess we're looking at degrees of it here. And so when it comes to my own body, with my own interest, my own body's own desires for, say, dairy, because I noticed that when I was completely vegan that the enamel on my teeth seemed to get a little thinner, or at least it would get darker. My teeth got darker in color. But when I would eat some of the cheeses, which I try to very carefully buy, so organic and raised, you know, cheeses that are the product of brown cows, which is a much better source of milk. There's the, you know, you can look up on the internet about the A1 and the A2 milk. There's a tremendous difference between the two. And so the brown cow milk is much healthier for us. And so I try to buy the brown cow milk-made organic cheeses. And then I find that my teeth whiten right up right away.
Mm.
So everybody is different, and everybody needs to listen within. But like I say, when I get into trouble, if I have a problem with my health, generally the first thing I'll do is go on to a green juice feast, and I'll get really strict about being vegan for myself. If I'm doing detoxification and cleaning out, I'd go right there, right to vegan every time, because that's the way that my body finds its balance best. Now, that's not going to be true for everybody. Different people are going to have different beliefs, and whatever we believe is going to be the most important thing in finding health in our lives. And so that is a contributing factor as well into what creates health for us. And so your cravings for yogurt or for eggs, you know, that's something that you're going to have to look in for your own self to find out if that really is something that your body needs.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, conversely, of course, you know, if you were to consult with, say, the author of one of my favorite vegan books, Rainbow Green Live Food Cuisine, Dr. Gabriel Cousins. He has a great understanding of the body and of nutrition and of health, and has done amazing research to show how you can completely reverse type 2 and type 1 diabetes in like 25, 30 days by just going on a raw vegan diet. And we have a neighbor who was, you know, was so uncomfortable in her body from pain in her joints and difficulties with her body that she said, Josephine, I'll do anything. And I said, well, try this. And I showed her his book, Rainbow Green Live Food Cuisine. And I said, here's, you know, plan one. And it's very, very lean, and it's all raw vegan. And, you know, she did that for 3 months, and then she went on to plan two, and all of the pain cleared up, and she was out there mowing her lawn in no time, you know, with a push mower. So it's remarkable how our foods do affect our health. And yet I really do feel that it's important for all of us to listen in. Now, one of the diets that's really popular right now is the paleo diet. And, you know, I can really understand the basis behind that. So that's largely meat and vegetables predominantly.
No, I've not heard of this diet, Josephine.
Yeah, this is going back to the paleo times, thinking back to our human history, you know, thousands of years ago.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Yeah, and so what their idea is that, well, at that time in our human development, we ate a lot of meat and vegetables. Well, I think that we did eat meat and that we did eat vegetables at that time, but I don't think we ate a lot of meat. Now, if you look at some of the cultures around the world that historically have had great health, they've usually eaten plenty of lots and lots of vegetables and not so many processed grains, certainly no processed grains, but not so many grains. And the grains that they were eating were older style of, you know, seeds that could really survive in harsh conditions, and they weren't the real gluten-rich grains that we're eating today. So they were a whole different animal. It's, you know, like the difference between agribusiness corn and native corn, you know, some of the corn that's raised perhaps still on Indian reservations. In this country. So there's a big difference between, you know, we're not exactly comparing apples to apples here. There's a big difference in the types of foods that were available thousands of years ago and the types of foods that are available now. But the primary source of food for this diet was the vegetables. And if you look at the healthy people of today, the surviving cultures, yes, they maybe eat meat, but they probably only have, you know, like maybe the whole village group will slaughter a goat once every 6 months or so and set for a solstice celebration or for a wedding celebration. Or maybe once a week they'll grab a guinea pig and throw it in the soup pot, you know. They're not eating a lot of meat. Like China, the traditional meals of China, when we eat Chinese food here in America, it's very heavily laden with meats, and we think, oh my gosh, well, that's Chinese food. But no, really, in China, the amount of land that was arable is really small in proportion to the size of the population. And so they can't have the luxury of raising flesh foods, animal products, because it takes 14 pounds of grain to make 1 pound of flesh food. And so, you know, if you're looking to feed a lot of people, what are you going to use? The 14 pounds of grain that you can really spread around and feed a lot of people with, or the 1 pound of animal product? So just on a purely practical basis, the traditional Chinese dinner, they would use, you know, meat as like a seasoning, as like a little tiny slivers of the meat, just to give a little flavor. But it wasn't these huge, big amounts of meat. So I think that that's where the paleo diet has some problems, in that it requires a tremendous amount of protein to be moving through our bodies when we're eating large portions of meat like that. And I think it gets back to this, you know, BBC special of Supersize Me, you know, these large proteins that we tend to eat here, these large portions that we tend to eat here. And so, you know, it kind of gets back to moderation in all things in a way too, you know, just backing off on a lot of that stuff a little bit can really help.
Well, thank you so much, Josephine. But unfortunately, we are getting very near the end of our show. So let me just say this, that if anyone would like to ask a question or share a comment about today's program, please feel free to type it into the box to the left of your screen or go to Josephine's website at www.stepintomagic.com and visit the contact page. The link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website. Just go to stepintomagic.com and click on radio. So, Josephine, before we close, are there any parting words that you'd like to say?
Well, yes. One is that we treat all of our emails confidentially, so if you would like to contact me, please feel free and know that your email won't go anywhere but just to me. And, I'd just like to let us all remember that, you know, when we to ask within, that we're our own best guides when it comes to health and healing. And I always like to finish our show with this blessing, which goes like this. As our gifts are given in love, they are received in love, and we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a real pleasure talking to you this evening, and I trust that everybody listening has learned something about developing psychic ability and treating the body as the temple of our soul. This has been show number H1-1.14, and we look forward to having you all join us again next week, when we'll be going even deeper into this topic with our show titled Food for Our Soul Journey, Inner Guidance for Optimal Health.
Well, thank you all for listening. As this new year gets underway, it's interesting to note that together we're all experiencing a global revolution in communication. It's so easy for us to connect across continents, and we're now able to do this at the click of a button. It lets our shared consciousness grow together to reach new horizons as we enter into a truly interconnected awareness. All of this gives me great hope for our collective future as we learn how to more fully open our hearts to the truth of our being. And when we embrace our natural sensory perception and allow it to be the guiding influence of our lives, we step into our truth and our own unique service for the world. So thank you all for joining me as we develop our consciousness together. And in closing, Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing. I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night.